Today we once again have the great privilege of welcoming a senior to give their senior chapel talk, to reflect upon their time as a student at SAS, to encourage us to hold fast to the mission of our school, and above all else, to remind us of God's love. And so please join me in welcoming to the podium, Ellie Jenkins.
Hello everyone. As Mother Short mentioned, my name is Ellie. I've been going to SAS for 7 years now, which is way too long, and this is my chapel talk. When deciding what to talk about today, I wanted to choose something that everyone could relate to and could connect with, something uncontroversial and low stakes. That's why today I'm going to talk to you about politics. If any of you know me to any degree really, you'll have heard me talk about camp at some point or another. No, not the band camp. Every year, at least once a year since I was 5, I have been venturing to Nauvoo, Alabama, a town so small it hardly warrants the word, to go to an Episcopal church camp called Camp McDowell. Church camp. Sounds exciting, I know. And I also know what you're about to say, and the answer is yes. Yes, you should be jealous. Maybe I was talking about all the new friends I made, or about my new camp crush, but in some way or another, you've probably heard me talk about my experiences with camp. To me, camp is a unique opportunity to connect with people my age on both a social and religious level, through singing, sermons, and Compline, a nighttime prayer service, which, thanks to Camp McDowell, I have memorized word for word. Now, my incessant bragging is not without reason. Mostly, I just want to share the love that I felt at camp with the world. The incredible, unconditional love and joy that is a trademark of all those who understand what camp is truly about. One time in particular, I remember someone asking me why Camp McDowell was so important to me. And right then, only one story came to mind. It's not a story of laughter, as most of my camp stories are, but of transformation. The summer before my sophomore year, I met a boy named Caden. Caden was in my small group, a group of about 8 or so people who you meet with every day to discuss the lesson of the day, get to know each other, and talk about God's impact in our lives. Caden showed up to the first day of camp wearing a MAGA hat with a curly blonde mullet that would make even wrestlers jealous, beat-up cowboy boots, homemade jorts, a cut-off tank top, and with one of the thickest Alabama accents I have ever heard, which I will not be reenacting for you today. So, while I try not to judge people based on their appearances, I found myself expecting Caden to do and say certain things just because of how he looked. And if I'm being honest, he played straight into my biased hand. A few days into camp, word started to spread about Caden's political beliefs. He was openly against LGBTQ rights, he didn't believe in gay marriage, and he was verbally hostile towards those who identified as trans, just to name a few. Some people began to distance themselves from him because they didn't want to associate with what he began to represent. Despite my disagreements with many of Caden's ideas, I tried to give him grace and respect during small group time, but I felt a pressure from those around me to stay away, a pressure to not give Caden a chance, or else I would begin to represent his ideas as well, a pressure I easily gave into. Caden was a rising senior, so the last night of camp, he was given an opportunity to stand up in front of everyone and give a speech about what McDowell meant to him, a tradition at camp and something which is very special for all the seniors who participate. At this point, most of the camp had written Caden off, myself included, as just another intolerant person that we were going to have to put up with. But to my and everyone else's surprise, Caden left us all in tears. He had nothing but good things to say. He apologized if he had hurt anyone with his ideas. He said that he'd learned how to love people better. He thanked everyone he'd talked to who had taught him a different way to look at the world. He said he realized that he didn't just have to follow what his father said about the world and about politicians and people, but he could make up his own mind. He said, "That's just how it is at my house," but he now knew that that didn't mean that's how it had to be for him. In that moment, Caden reminded me of a little kid. A kid that hasn't realized that they can disagree with their parents and the world won't end. As I looked around the dark chapel, the only light stemming from a few candles on the altar, I saw tears running down everyone's faces, including Caden's, because we realized that we had been even more close-minded than he had. I was so ashamed that I had succumbed to the pressure, that I had allowed other people's judgments to cloud my own. I hadn't given him a chance, or asked him why he thought the way he did, or even for a moment considered that there was something more going on in his life. Regardless of Caden's political identity now, or whether he was ultimately able to stand up to his father, I will always remember the lesson that he taught me, that it is not the beliefs that make the person, but the ability to welcome new ideas. This is why I love Camp McDowell, because it never ceases to teach me something new or amaze me with the power of God's love. Now, I know we all just got home from Thanksgiving, and pretty soon we'll be sitting around the Christmas table with our families, carefully dancing around certain political topics that are bound to arise. This dance is a careful one that I have never been able to master. I'm an extremely conflict-avoidant person, and my family houses many different political viewpoints, which I've often felt caught between. Maybe you can relate to this. I am torn between left and right and far left, Democrat and Republican, reform and independent, all the while not actually knowing what these parties actually believe, because no one can give me a satisfying answer. Today, many people have so absorbed their political identity into their personal identity that any question feels like an attack, and any attempt to learn more about the other's ideas is impossible. It is hard to accept questioning or criticism, and it is also hard to question without criticizing. I feel that we are all the children of a national custody battle, being fought over for our vote, with the judge looking at us, telling us to choose which parent we'll pledge allegiance to. The mother, empathetic, adaptable, heartfelt, or the father, steadfast, traditional, reliable. How can I choose between which of my morals to prioritize in a moment? How can I decide? When certain policies and people are made to appear synonymous with morality, am I a bad person for thinking there is another way to accomplish peace or unity? Well, first off, let me say no, you are not. This is something that I have struggled with. I often find myself biting my tongue at family events to the point where I may not say a word for hours. I am afraid that if I speak up or disagree, I will be starting a battle I cannot finish. I am afraid I will create a rift within my family or that someone will question my ideas and I will not have the research to back myself up. At this point in my life, I don't know what policies to shun or support. I only know what feels right. I only have my intuition, and I'm often afraid that I will be shamed for that feeling. To me, political conversations feel more like a way to prove dominance or strip the other person of their legitimacy than to actually understand them. But if Caden can find it in himself to change his entire worldview in the span of 8 days, I can find it in myself to speak up at the dinner table. And after all, if you can't have a respectful conversation with your family or friends, who can you have one with? In the passage from Luke that was just read, Jesus says, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." Here Jesus is speaking to a crowd of people waiting to be blessed by him. But, as Jesus often does, his speech is meant to disrupt the people, not to keep them comfortable, to challenge them and their faith in a way that it has not been before. To love not only those who love you, but those who don't. To have mercy on those who differ from you, as well as those who agree with you. This charge is the same one as I am giving you today. It is easy to be kind to the people who think the same way as us, who act and dress and live the same lifestyle as we are used to. It is infinitely harder to actively listen and love those who challenge us, who think in entirely different ways than us, and who might not care to be nice to us back. This is the challenge that Jesus has given us. When I first started thinking about what to talk about in my chapel talk, I had a lot of trouble. I really tried to just play it safe In fact, I wrote an entire chapel talk about overalls and their immense influence on my life, which I was honestly kind of proud of, and which is now cursed to sit in my Google Drive for all of eternity. But to be honest, the more I thought about giving that talk, the more disingenuous it felt. The point of choosing to give a chapel talk was to give myself a platform on which people would pretty much have to listen to me, which I actually think should happen more often because I like to think I'm pretty wise. My goal today is to help you reflect on yourself and on how you listen to others' opinions. Yes, we hear, but are we really being empathetic and trying to understand? So this is the challenge that I am giving you today. Regardless of political identity, work to give everyone a chance, the chance that I did not give Caden. Give each other an opportunity to have a conversation, not to change the other person's mind or to have them change yours, but to better understand the world around you. One of my best friends and I don't agree on much of anything political. There was a period of time when we would make it a point to bring up the most controversial topic we could possibly think of and discuss it. These are the conversations that have made our bond so strong. Not only accepting or being satisfied, but being excited that we don't agree. So the next time you're in history class, or you're on the street and you see someone wearing some controversial slogan, give them some grace and challenge yourself to love them as one of God's children, as a fellow human, regardless of whether their political beliefs align with yours. Thank you.